My sermon topic today is the mantle of Elijah. And what happened at the end of Elijah's ministry? He hooked up with Elisha. And Elisha followed him around and followed him around and followed him around and watched how he did things. Elijah prepared Elisha for the next phase. And so as Elijah was going up, his mantle fell to the ground. Because Elisha had asked, "If I get to see you go, oh dear Lord, let me have a double portion of your spirit." And the mantle was his. And the first thing he did with that mantle is he went down to the Jordan River. He looked, he prayed, he said, "Where is the Lord God of Elijah?" And he took that thing and he whipped it onto the water, and the waters departed. And he walked across on dry land. Let's pray. Father, the mantle of Elisha and the mantle of Elijah, the mantle of John the Baptist, there it is. It's now on our shoulders. Have your way in our lives, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. First of all, let's look at Elijah. Elijah, his name means this: God is Jehovah. I want you to remember some of these things that I tell you, because they all make sense and they all have meaning. God is Jehovah, or God Himself. Elijah the Tishbite is the grandest and most romantic character Israel ever produced. He had no fear of man and no career in the whole Old Testament is more vividly portrayed or has as much fascination as the life of Elijah. He has a unique character. The New Testament attests to his greatness and reveals what an indelible impression he made upon the mind of his nation. All we know of him before his dramatic appearance was that he was the Elijah, the Tishbite. He's not brought into us gradually and introduced and grown up as a little boy, like some of these people that we read of in the Bible. We follow them from their boyhood all the way up. He's just, all of a sudden, there's Elijah. He's there. Suddenly and with abrupt impetuosity, I love that word, the figure of the prophet appears on the scene and he rebukes the godless to reawaken and restore the nation of which he was a part. And this man of iron is presented in many different ways as a fearless and dauntless reformer. That's 1 Kings chapter 18 and verses 17 to 46. He rebuked kings, and he was a mighty intercessor, praying with faith and intensity. I want you to think about these things as I tell you about the traits of Elijah and Elisha, and you'll understand what it is that we have to do in our time today. He was given to discouragement, and he was capable of misjudging things, and he was a little bit fallible here and there, but he was a prophet divinely honored. And he was a performer of miracles. And he was a God-inspired prophet, ready to obey and to trust God. Those are important things. Those are very important things. Now, Elijah had a mantle. And what was the mantle that he was wearing? It was the mantle of mission. It was the mantle of ministry. And it was the mantle of message. And what was Elijah's mission? It was to call Israel to repentance and to prepare the way for one greater than himself. Now, believe it or not, he was preparing the way for Elisha. Who was John the Baptist preparing the way for? That's right. Who was Moses preparing the way for? Joshua. Now, I want you to get this. I want you to get it right at the very beginning. Moses' successor was Joshua. What does Joshua mean? It's another form of Jesus. And Jesus means God, our Savior. Jehovah is our salvation. What does Elisha mean? God is our salvation. His name, not the same as Jesus. You'll see the connection shortly. Jehovah is our Savior. Jehovah is our Savior. Over and over we are reminded that Jehovah or Yahweh or however you want to say it, which means I am God. I am. And Jesus' name means I am Savior. And Elisha means I am Savior. God wants us to understand that He wants to save us. And He's got a work to do. First of all, through Elijah, we learn that we need to be called to repentance. Repent, turn to God. Now, where does judgment begin? In the house of God. Where did Elijah go with his message? Did he go to the Gentiles? He went to his own people. And he called them to repentance because what had they done? They had turned to idols. They had allowed all kinds of things to mix and mingle with their faith in Jehovah. When the kingdoms were divided, Jeroboam put up two golden calves to mark the extent of his territory. He didn't want people going to Jerusalem to worship. He wanted his people, his 10 tribes, to stay up there with him. And so he established a different kind of worship. That's where it begins. Let's just do it our way. Let's do it a little different. Let's do this. It really doesn't matter what day you worship on, does it? Bit by bit, little by little, idolatry crept into Israel. And bit by bit, and little by little, idolatry creeps in to us, to the church. That's why we needed John the Baptist. He warned his people. And today, the Elijah message, the mantle of Elijah, has fallen upon this church. How many agree with that? How many know that the Elijah message, the message of repentance, turning to God, getting prepared for the soon coming of the Lord, is the message that we need to preach today? Is it not so? Are we not wearing the mantle of Elijah? Or are we the ones that he is targeting to get ready? Have we accepted the Elijah message yet? Before we can run with the mantle, we've got to have the message. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need to get the idolatry out of the church. We need to get the world out of the church, because the world is so churchy and the church is so worldly, you can hardly tell them apart. When we act like and talk like and behave like the world, what is our message? It's gone. We have to look in the mirror and examine ourselves. I'm not pointing my finger at any of you and saying, you are. I'm talking about me. What am I doing? How am I adopting more and more of the attitudes of the world and less the attitudes of Christ? It is good to pray. It is good to study our scriptures. It is good to know the spirit of prophecy and to understand the writings of our beloved prophet Ellen White. Let's use the resources we have to get back to God's basics. Let's not fool around and play around with the world. Let's allow there to be a distinction in the way we live and the way they live. Let us not become snobbish and standoffish and keep it all to ourselves, because that was what happened to Israel. They became a nation of snobs who had nothing to do with the outside world when they had been commissioned to convert the Gentiles. Somehow, some way, they lost the conversion idea and thought they would just preserve themselves. And really, the nation of Israel has spent thousands of years just preserving itself. Think of it. How many times have the Jewish people been almost decimated over and over? They survived because of the grace of God. But that became the focus of the Jewish nation. Let's preserve ourselves. Let's taste not, touch not, handle not the unclean thing. And pretty soon everything is unclean. Everybody is unclean. It's, you know, you and me and that's it. And then I'm worrying about you now. You know, the saying is everybody is a little bit off base except for you and me, and I'm worried about you. Well, Jesus died for all mankind. And he was announced this way: "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." And John the Baptist said, "I must decrease, and he must increase." And he also said, "Repent." Repent. Think of some things that have crept into your life that maybe you better get rid of. Church, the mantle of Elijah rests upon us. Now, Elisha, listen to him. You see, Elisha, I want you to read some of his characteristics, because he is a character. Elisha was a man of indomitable faith, a man of swift action, a man of spiritual power, a man of dauntless courage. Who does that sound like? A man of deep sympathy, a man of God, a man of willing help, a man who merited blessing, a man of clear understanding, a man of force and might, a man who knew secrets, a man of remarkable foresight, of unerring counsel, of tears and sorrow. Now listen to this. Elisha suggests the ministry of Christ. There was quite a difference between what Elijah had to go through and what Elisha had to go through. Elijah took all the knocks and all the hard things and finally disposed of Ahab. And when Elisha came on the scene, he got all kinds of respect. The kings of Israel listened to him. Now, they didn't do what he said, but they gave him respect. He went around ministering. He raised the dead. He did miracles just like Christ. He multiplied loaves, the oil, and he went and he even included Gentiles in his ministry. Did you know that? Where did Elisha stay? Did he stay in a Hebrew home? He stayed in a Gentile home. They made him a special room, because his own people had no time for him. Jesus came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to as many as call upon his name. Elijah was a prophet of the wilderness. Elisha was a prince of the court. Elijah had no settled home. Elisha enjoyed the peace of a home. Elijah was known by his long hair and shaggy mantle. Elisha by his staff and his bald head. Elijah was mainly prophetical. Elisha's work was mainly miraculous. Elijah's ministry was one of stern denunciation. Elisha's task was that of teaching and winning. Elijah was a rebuker of kings. Elisha was a friend and an admirer. Elijah was a messenger of vengeance. Elisha was a messenger of mercy. Elijah represented exclusiveness. Elisha stood for comprehension. Elijah was fierce, fiery, and energetic. Elisha was gentle, sympathetic, and simple. Elijah was a solitary figure. Elisha was more social. Elijah had an extraordinary disappearance from earth. Elisha's death was ordinary. Why do I tell you these differences? Well, we want to have a life like Elisha's. But it is only through the message of Elijah that a life like Elisha's would be possible. Elijah prepared the way for Elisha. John the Baptist prepared the way for Jesus. We must prepare the way for Jesus to come again. We must warn the people to get right with God, to repent and believe the gospel, and know this, that they need to come out of Babylon, that the world is going to try to force us to give up our faith. That persecution is coming our way, and are you ready for it? We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. We need to avail ourselves of the resources of God. They are only available through Jesus Christ. He said, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and he shall be in you, and I will never leave you nor forsake you, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the world. And he said, go and tarry in Jerusalem till you be endued with power from on high. Are you praying desperately for the infilling of the Holy Spirit? You need the Holy Spirit. I need the Holy Spirit. Now, God has filled me with the Holy Spirit, but he needs to fill me again, and he needs to fill me again. And even after they were filled with the Holy Spirit, they were persecuted. Peter was arrested, and they met together, and Peter was loosed and came back to them, and they preached with boldness after that place that they had been praying in was shaken with the presence of the Holy Spirit all over again. We need the genuine Holy Spirit, not the other Spirit. We need the real Jesus and not another Jesus. There is a spirit out there that wants to take over our church. It is the spirit that is in the Pentecostal churches. It is the spirit that is in the charismatic movement. It is the world that wants to get into the church to make the world part of us. And for us to lose our testimony. Be overcome by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. We must testify and keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. The only way we can do that is by huddling together, binding together, praying together, and living this life in front of the world so that our light will not be under a bushel but on a hillside. People will see us and be drawn to us like moths to the flame. They will say, what is it that you people have that is different from everybody else? And we will not try to be like them other churches and be like them so we can attract that kind of people. We want sinners to come here and be transformed. We don't want to be like them. We want them to come and receive our Jesus. We need to be lit. We need a fire to come and light itself under us to get us moving. We need the Holy Spirit more than we've ever needed him before. Without the Holy Spirit, we will die. But with the Holy Spirit, each one of us will ignite the person next to them. And wherever we go, we will spread this gospel. Whatever we do in our jobs, in our homes, wherever we go, this will spread. Are you ready for the coming of the Lord? Do you want the mantle of Elijah? Are you ready for the mantle of Elijah? Make sure, because when it falls upon you, there's a responsibility that goes with it. You can't do wrong and get by, no matter how hard you try. We need to get thoroughly right with God. If ever we needed to repent, it is now. O Lord, have mercy on us, for we have failed you so often. We have been so negligent. We have hid our talent in the ground. We have not at least given it out to usury that it might gain itself again. We have kept it to ourselves too often, Lord. We have shut up our mouths and not spoken when we should, and sometimes we have spoken out of turn when we shouldn't. But our lives must reflect the glory of God and the transforming power of Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Do you make that your prayer? I know we got troubles right here in this church. I know that there are temptations. I know that the devil is on the onslaught and he wants you to be discouraged. He wants you to give up. He wants you to quit. He wants you to just say, curse God and die. It could be a lot worse, folk. And if it wasn't for the restraining hand of the Lord, of the Holy Spirit, holding back the four winds, the devil wants to cut loose. And if you don't think he's cut loose already, think of what it's going to be like when the Lord lets him. That's not a pretty idea. We need to be ready for the coming of the Lord. Are you ready? Make sure you are. If there's any doubt in your mind, let's spend some time in prayer. Let's pray together. If you have any doubts as to your condition under God, if you have any doubts of your salvation, you need to come down here and pray. We need to pray for a few minutes. Those of you that feel a need of prayer come upon you, you come down here to this altar. Let's have a little time of prayer before we leave this church. We need one another, folks. If ever we needed one another, we need each other now. Shall we do that? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we know that your word has said that smite the shepherd and the sheep scatter. Well, these sheep refuse to scatter, Lord. We want to draw closer to one another. We want to draw closer to you. We want to be like Jesus, as our dear pastor has said. We want to be like Jesus so that we can be ready, so we can know you when you come, so that you can know us, so that you can say to us, ultimately, welcome, thou good and faithful servant. Come into the joy of your Lord. Let it be so, Lord. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.